blessings of today. We ask that you touch us in our everyday lives. We ask that you give us the strength to lead a Christ-like demeanor in all our actions and interactions. We ask that the lessons that we learn tonight, Lord, that we apply those in our daily lives, and that we be a shining light of your word and your grace and your mercy to others, Lord. Father God, we understand with you in our lives, all things are possible, and without you, nothing is possible. So we just ask you to continue giving us the strength to worship, to love one another, to always be a soldier in your army and to speak up when there are those that deny your word. We just ask that you keep us in your forthright mind, touch the University Church of Christ and all members, and we ask that you pray for our families, our immediate families, and our friends in this church, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Plants never gotten me before, but it did then. We're glad to have those who might be our guests tonight. We're thankful you're here. We're continuing to have students and their parents who are arriving, and certainly next Sunday we look for an extra large crowd of those who will be here with us. We always look forward to that and are excited about it. You might turn your Bibles, first of all, to the Old Testament, to Psalm 142. We'll be looking at that to begin tonight. The cave of Adullam is a foreboding place in the wilderness of Judea, yet it's mentioned a few times in the Old Testament. This picture taken from the main cave in that area, thought to be the one in our story, is a place where King David fled. As you remember the story of young David fleeing from King Saul, he took his family to get away from Saul. He had spent some time in Philistia, where he posed as a madman to get released from the king there. Ended up in the wilderness in the cave of Adullam, and after being there, finally takes his family to Moab to get him out of the reach of King Saul. But it was a very low place, a very low time in David's life, a very difficult time. And it is thought that this is probably the time when he writes Psalm 142. It says that it's a masculine of David when he was in the cave. And as you read the story of David, that this is most likely then the circumstance when that occurred. It is written from the heart of a man who is a man of faith, but who is deeply discouraged. I want us to read it together. Psalm 142, beginning in verse 1. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they've hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Certainly David was discouraged, but he expresses an attitude in here, a disposition of heart that I think many people have felt at different times in their life. His statement there in verse 4, that no one cared for my soul, is a feeling that, as I say, many may have felt at one time. David was convinced at this point that nobody cared about him anymore. Fleeing from the king of his nation, despised by him, having been pursued, David wonders what's going to happen to him. And maybe even questions if God is still with him. He knows he's God's chosen one, the one who is to replace King Saul one day. But at this point, none of that looks like it's going to happen. And so there is this great discouragement here. When someone expresses this kind of feeling, It's a feeling of abandonment, a feeling of isolation and loneliness that one feels. And sometimes it may be justified. And when David is crying out here, he truly feels that that is his position in life. It may not have been entirely true, but nonetheless, it's how he felt. And it's in times like that, when we feel that way, that many times people end up turning their back on the Lord or blaming the Lord, feeling there is no God reaching out to them. And there's a great lesson to learn in this. As Taylor mentioned this morning, this month, we're talking about, on our general theme of bearing fruit, of trying to bear fruit among the straying. And there are a lot of people who have served the Lord, who maybe have turned away from the Lord, who feel this way, that they are where they are because really no one is interested, no one cares. Let's think about that tonight and about our relationship to those people and to see if there's not something in our heart and in our actions that may help in dealing with those who feel no one cares for their soul. We have a great responsibility in that area. So let me ask first of all, as we talk about this, is this really true? Is it true that no one cares for the souls of men? As I say, it may often seem that way. Sometimes people in the world who are dealing with even the consequences of their own sins, but not only that, just the difficulties of life and the things that happen to them, maybe disease or tragedy or sickness, accidents that happen, they get very discouraged. And there are those who feel there must not be a God, or there is no God who cares about me or is willing to reach out to me. Is that true? Is there a God out there who has no concern or no interest in the souls of men? Is it that God cares for some people and doesn't care for other people? Does he favor some people with lots of physical blessings while saying, I will not provide blessings for this person? Well, there are a lot of people out there who are without God. Some who blame God. Some who really don't care if there is a God or not. All who are in need of salvation of their souls. And the truth is that, strictly speaking, there is someone who has cared for their soul and does care for their soul. And whether God, or whether they recognize it or not, God has made it known to this world that he cares for the souls of men and has reached out to them in every way. The Bible is one continuous story of God's desire and his work to save all of mankind. And of course, the greatest act of showing his care for the souls of men was in the giving of his own son to make salvation possible and forgiveness of sins and to give people true hope in this life and of a life to come. No one cares for your soul? Not so. God does care for the souls of men and has expressed that over and over and made it known throughout the world. Men can know of a caring God and that he cares about the thing that matters most about them, and that is their spiritual well-being and giving them an eternal hope. So it's not strictly true that no one cares for the souls of men. God does. And certainly not only God does, but it should be that those who love God also would care about the souls of others. God's people rarely ever gather. I think that's true here. Without prayers being made for the souls of the lost, praying for them, and that they will have the opportunity to repent, and that they might be taught. Whether those in the world hear those prayers or not, they are being expressed, and there is concern about the souls of men. But it's true also that the unaggressive character of many in spreading the gospel, of many Christians having that kind of attitude, may cause many to believe that the care is not there, that people are not reaching out to them. And they may even use that as an excuse for saying no one cares for their soul. Even in the church, it is true that many times there are Christians who become discouraged and fall away. And sometimes when you talk to them, they'll say, well, no one has expressed interest in me. No one really has cared about me during that time. It's regrettable when that kind of situation happens in a congregation, that someone does fall away and no one shows an interest in them. That should not be the case. But even in those situations, we must understand that God still cares for the souls of everyone. Well, when people feel that no one cares for their soul, really when that is the situation, who is to blame in that situation? Who is to blame for them having that attitude of heart? Or for the fact that no one has reached out to them? We must avoid a spirit of lukewarmness and complacency toward those people. If we've been saved, there must be a gratitude in our heart that toward God that demands us to want to reach out to others and want to help them. That should be the circumstance. It always should be. I think about the love that is expressed in the New Testament. For example, that Paul expressed toward those who may be falling away. In passages like Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, where as Paul writes to the brethren there, he talks about the need of reaching out to those who may have stumbled or may have sinned. Brethren, even if a man be overtaken in a trespass, in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Paul is expressing there that there must be that concern for those who may even fall away. And Paul expressed that on many occasions. You know, I think about his great love for his own nation, the people of Israel, and his desire for them. In Romans 10 and verse 1, he said, "My brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them, that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." He cared about them. He was concerned about them. He was worried about what was going to happen to them. We must show this true care, as I think the Apostle Paul expressed many times. I mean, his letters are written to Christians and to churches in which he's trying to, many times, correct problems and sin that is in their life. He cared about what was happening. Paul truly cared for the souls of men. And when he describes the many things that he endured for the cause of the gospel over in 2 Corinthians, one of the things he lists is his constant care or anxiety for the churches. He was always concerned about them. What this says is that when there are those who are falling away, the church shares a responsibility in being diligent in seeking them out. And that they do see that we do care for their souls. There's a fertile field among those who stray from the Lord of souls to be saved and souls to be influenced and souls to be brought back to God. And we must take on that responsibility. Everyone shares in that. But there are other areas that we might think about where we need to show the care for souls that will result in salvation. For example, parents need to show the kind of spiritual interest in their children that causes their children to understand that the thing that is most important to their parents is the souls of the children, that they care about their children and they care about their eternal destiny, and that they are diligent in training their children in serving God and in knowing God. It is so easy for us to become so involved in so many aspects of our children's lives that really do not relate directly to their spirituality. We become so involved in their school activities and their recreational activities and their friends and all their extracurricular activities and making sure all those things are going on and they're developing in all these different ways. And we relegate the spiritual training of them down to just a very limited time. Sometimes they get no more than the fact that their parents bring them to Bible classes at church. Other than that, little or no spiritual direction. And sometimes those children grow up and they do not obey the Lord or do not serve the Lord. And I've talked to some of them and they would say, "Well, my parents didn't really care about what happened to us spiritually." Wasn't entirely true. Their parents didn't care, but their actions did not convey to their children that they truly cared for their souls and cared for them more than anything else. Sometimes parents can be to blame for their children's lack of spiritual interest and their spiritual welfare. But then elders and teachers and preachers, certainly must be people who love souls and are interested in those who may turn away from the Lord, to be interested in the straying. In bringing the saints to perfection, as Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers being involved in the perfecting of the saints. And certainly the perfecting of the saints means we reach out to those who fall away. Leadership in a congregation must show an interest in those who may not be showing up for services, for those who are struggling in their spiritual life, that they're willing to become involved in it beyond just standing in the pulpit and preaching about it or making decisions that lead a congregation. They're showing the spiritual welfare, interest in the spiritual welfare of others. Elderships must be committed to that. This eldership spends time every time they meet, going through talking about those who are struggling or falling away and making efforts to reach out to them and return to the Lord. But it's not just our responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility to reach out and do that. We are shepherds, but you're part of the flock. You should be caring about those around you who are falling away. The last thing we need to do is to say, as I've heard some people say, well, I didn't think they'd remain faithful. I kind of figured that was going to happen with them. You know, what a horrible attitude to have toward someone who is struggling and falling away from the faith. That, again, is not the attitude of our Apostle Paul. He was a man who cared about every soul and prayed for them and was anxious for them in his daily life and was constantly trying to reach out to them in every way that he can. But why is there such neglect for the souls of men? Why do we not reach out more? You know, sometimes I think it's an unbelief on our own part. That is an unbelief that God really would allow these souls to be lost. We see those people out there struggling. They're having some real problems in their life. And maybe we just think, well, God understands. God will be merciful to them in that situation. And yeah, they're not really faithful anymore. But no, God wouldn't really do that. Or as we develop the attitudes of modern religion today, we may begin to think God's really not the kind of God that would condemn people to hell. And so we're not interested in really reaching out to restore them because we're not really convinced about their lost condition or the seriousness of their lost condition. And that's an unbelief on our part, an unbelief, a failure to believe in a God who is not only loving and gracious and merciful, but who is also just and will, as Nahum said in Nahum 1:3, will by no means acquit the wicked. He's not going to do that. And he makes that very clear. That he expects all to seek righteousness. So we have to be very careful that we don't let our own unbelief cause us to not reach out to souls that are struggling and falling away. Take seriously their condition. Realize they are struggling and may be lost. And we may answer to God one day for that. As we sing in that old song, that picture of standing before judgment and one standing there who we knew, and they say to us, you know, you never mentioned him to me. Certainly that can apply to Christians who never reach out to one who may be struggling and falling away. So unbelief, yeah, I think that's part of it. Sometimes it's fear on our part. Fear of how the person may react to our reaching out to them. And we excuse ourselves by saying, well, you know, I don't want to turn them off further. I don't want to offend them in any way. And so we really don't reach out to them. We don't talk to them about it. And I think we'll answer for that. We have to realize our responsibility of not being so concerned about how they react, but being concerned about that they do know the concern is there and of the seriousness of their plight. And that we're expressing that from the Word of God. We have a great responsibility in that. We do not need to fear what people may think or say. We need to be concerned about their soul and be willing to reach out to them. Sometimes, even if they're offended by what we do, they will know someone reached out to them. I had someone not long ago who I had sat down and talked to during some difficult times in their life come up to me sometime later and say to me, "You know, I'm sorry." And I said, "For what?" And he said, "You tried to reach out to me and I pushed you away." And he said, "I realized that later." We have to realize that even if we do offend, we need to tell them what they need to hear and to be truthful with them so that they will come back. We must take on that responsibility. Don't let fear of what they may think or what others may say turn us off from reaching out to those people. Don't be more concerned about turning them off than about them at least hearing the exhortation or even the rebuke that they need to hear. And sometimes the problem is our own inability to be able to say to them the things that need to be said. That can be true both of the people in the world, speaking to people in the world that are lost, or even to our own brethren. We don't know the scriptures well enough to point out to them what the scriptures say, to teach them what the scriptures say about their condition or their situation. You know, it's a sad situation where those who are supposed to be the people of the Lord and the people of the Word can't even express basic fundamentals about the gospel to people and about their need for their salvation from the scriptures themselves. They do not know the Word of God as they ought. Fundamental to being able to show care for the souls of men is being able to express to them what the scriptures say and to be able to teach it to others, to express the Word of God to them. We must learn to put confidence in the Word of God in teaching others and not in our own words. We must reach out and be willing to do that. But our own inability may cause others to feel we don't care for them because we don't speak to them, because we really don't know what to say. We need to take on those responsibilities and try to do something about that. When we fail to do this, when we fail to reach out to the souls of others, basically what we're failing to do is to glorify our Lord. Our lives are to be lives that honor Him by our reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ and living for Him in our daily life. I think about the martyrs that John saw in Revelation, who it says of them, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There were people who were saved through the blood of the Lamb and who were willing to testify about Christ to others. The testimony of their lives, the testimony of their word, that was so important. It really was. We must be willing to bear fruit. And one of the ways we bear fruit is by bringing the erring back to the faith. We must always be committed to that. It must be at the center of our prayers. It must be the center of our words to all those who are around us. You remember how James closes his letter in James 5 and 19. "My brethren, if any among you err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he who converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, shall cover a multitude of sins." One strays away. What do? We try to convert him. We try to bring him back. That's at the heart of being a disciple of the Lord and being a brother and sister in Christ, that we're willing to do that. We're willing to reach out in that way. The remedy for overcoming the idea that no one cares for the souls of others is to believe in the true peril of souls that have strayed from the Lord or that have never come to Him, and of preparing ourselves to be able to reach out to those people and to care about them in our daily life. But I would also say to those who may feel that way in their life, that no one really cares for their soul, you need to care about your own soul too. You need to be concerned about the condition of your soul. If you're not going to care about your soul, it's not going to make any difference how many other people care about your soul. You need to care about being saved or lost. You need to care about that God has made your salvation possible and to want to do something about it. If you do not care, then it's going to be hard for other people to make you care or to even show they care. The incident of David in the cave of Adullam is probably from 1 Samuel 22. I want you to turn over there with me for a moment. David had just fled from Achish, the king of Gath. And it says in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1, David therefore departed from thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves to him. And he became captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. If David wrote this psalm when he was in that cave, I see him as writing that when he first gets there, all alone, discouraged, maybe with just his family with him, and crying out to God. And as you come to the end of that psalm, he talks about how that, bring my soul out of prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous shall surround me, for they will deal bountifully with me. And what happened was, when they heard where David was, those who were still the enemies of Saul left and came to David. They rallied around him, and suddenly 400 men he had with him to encourage him in the cave of Adullam. We may cry out to God, thinking no one cares. But if we let people know of the struggles in our life, about our own discouragement, believe me, there are people who will respond, who will show that they care. But part of it is letting people know of the struggles in your life, letting you know what you're facing. And then your brothers and sisters in Christ can respond and show that they care for your soul. It's a difficult position in life to be in a place where you feel no one cares. But I assure you, people do care, and your Lord cares. And understanding that, then let them work with you, and let God work with you, that you might find the care and love of God in Jesus Christ, and find the grace that is expressed in Him, the hope that is there, and find brethren who truly love and care about you. It's sad when somebody leaves, and sometimes people leave here and we can't even find them anymore. And we don't know what happens to them. And all we can do is pray for them. But if there is struggle in your life, and you feel you're drifting from the Lord, as Taylor talked about this morning, then let us help. Let us encourage. Let us help you from feeling that kind of discouragement. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we are so thankful that we know you as a God of grace and mercy. A God who has loved us so much that you would give your only Son for us. We are moved by your love, by your actions on our behalf, and that you continue to care for us every day of our life. Father, let us overcome our discouragement by knowing that you are there for us. Let us be willing to express our struggles in our lives to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that they may respond and help and encourage us. And Father, may we as your children be willing to reach out to the lost, to find those who think no God cares for them, and help them to understand how much you love and care about them, that we might bring their souls to salvation in Jesus Christ. Help us to care. Help us to reach out. And help us, if we are discouraged, to find the help and strength that can be found in the Lord and His people. We pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen. Whatever your condition in life, never forget that God cares. And that God wants you to be saved from your sins. God is willing to stand with anyone who is willing to take a stand for Him. And if you need to do that, if you need to return to the Lord and come back to Him and to seek the prayers of the saints and to be encouraged in that, let us help you in doing that. But if you need to take that first step, if you need to come to God and understand the great grace that He has expressed for you in Jesus Christ, and that you seek forgiveness of your sins, being baptized into Christ to wash away those sins, then do that tonight and find the joy that is found in salvation. Someone cares for you. God cares for you. And so do His people. And I pray for you to respond to that love. If you need to respond, we sing to encourage you and hope that you would come forward and express your needs while we stand and sing for your encouragement.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer.